You're listening to the UFO Radio Network, and this is the Andrew Carrington Hitchcock Show with your host, Andrew Carrington Hitchcock.
Hello, everybody. I'm delighted to have a guest on today who's a friend of mine who I've been on her show for many years regularly, and we haven't spoken for a while. We got in touch just after Christmas, before New Year, had a chat, and now we've been talking before the show, and I'm going to bring her up right now. She is Deanna Spingola. Deanna, are you with me?
I am, thank you.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for joining me. Now, folks, I wanted to have Deanna on the show anyway, and I'm inviting her back to come on after this on another topic. But the Sandy Hook issue, I'll be quite honest, that I've kind of gone down the line, well, it was probably a gun grab, so it probably didn't happen and this sort of thing. But I've never really looked into it a great deal myself. It's not really been the kind of narrative that I cover. So I've just sort of looked at different bits here and there. And of course, one thing that worries me is that if I'm going down that line, it actually did occur, which is what Deanna believes, and she's in fact written a whole book on the subject called Screening Sandy Hook, which she'll let you know how to get hold of. You know, I don't want to be spreading news such as this, which it would be so offensive to, you know, not just people who lost loved ones, but to the memory of these little children themselves. So I wanted to have Deanna on, as it's been such a divisive issue. I remember debates between Deanna and Michael Collins Piper against people like Jim Fetzer. I think John Friend did some work on this, and it's really been the event where, whereas 9/11 is a case of we all pretty much disagree with the official version, but there's all these different theories of what actually went on. Was there planes, no planes, all that sort of stuff. With Sandy Hook, it's a different issue, because Sandy Hook, you're actually saying this school didn't exist, these children didn't die, all this sort of stuff. And then you've got people like Deanna, who's an accomplished researcher, she's written several books, who believes that she has the evidence that they did in fact die. So, Deanna, can you start us off as to the background to your book, Screening Sandy Hook? It's difficult to know where to start off from, so I'll hand over to you. You introduce this topic in the best way you see fit, please.
Alrighty. I initially, like everyone else, I looked at the Robbie Parker video, and they only showed, and this came out, it came out within 24 hours after the event, and they showed 27 seconds of this video. Now, Robbie Parker is a Mormon, very devout. His family, for generations, have been Mormon, and he gave a press conference. He had been at his church in Sandy Hook, or in Newtown, and he came out of the building for this press conference, and as I say, and it was produced by CNN, and they recorded it. It was a 19-minute press conference, but whoever just shared 27 seconds of it, and in my mind, I think, well, how does 27 seconds represent what he said afterwards? So I wanted to listen to the entire thing. I don't want to speculate on 27 seconds of a video that lasted 19 minutes. And so I watched the entire thing. He seemed legitimate to me. So anyway, I was also looking at some other people who were saying that Sandy Hook was a fraud, that it was a hoax. And one of the persons that said this was Sophia Smallstorm. And she produced a video saying that it was a hoax, implying that it was a hoax. And so I thought, well, I should probably invite her on the program so that she can explain why she believes this. And I invited her, and she declined. She said that I didn't know the material well enough. And I thought, oh, is there something I'm supposed to know that I don't know? And so I started to do a critique on her video, and there was looped video in there. She was just going all over the place. A lot of speculation and a lot of contradictions that I just thought, this is crazy. And she had used a video from the Newtown Bee, which was, they did a video, it's a back to school video in 2009. And they did it for, you know, for their readers. And they also produced this video back to school where they showed the bus driver, going down the road and she was talking. And actually I've talked to that bus driver and, she was talking about school and whatnot. But then, a small storm had superimposed some other dialogue in there. And I thought, this is crazy. And, so I really did a critique on her video and I did three parts. And then American Free Press asked me to do a booklet on Sandy Hook. And I said, sure, I'd be happy to do a booklet. And they also asked me if I would consider going to Newtown with a video camera and interview people there. And they wanted it done pretty quickly. And this was in 2013, the beginning of 2013. And this was right after the official report came out, which came out on, no, it was 2014. The official report came out on December 27th of 2013. So it took a year and it was a very large report, 6,700 pages, hundreds of images of the Lanza house and of the school. I'm still going through those reports. I've gone through them several times. I've looked at the images several times. I've read many, many reports. I mean, there's just all these reports and all of these images that correspond to each other. There's reports by dozens upon dozens of detectives who worked on the case, photographers. A lot of people worked on this, and it took a year. Now, if the report had been produced in, say, 3 months, people would have said, oh, it's a hoax, because it didn't take long enough to compile a report. But what a year gave was for the hoaxers to implant and to really forge the debate. In other words, they decided what had happened. And in that year's time, people made a lot of videos. There were a lot of articles, not based on the report. And when people engage in research to be successful and credible, they must learn how to read, verify, and evaluate official records, which are often created by government entities, which this was. And people rightly assume, and the government assumes, that people are not going to read records. For instance, if people read the CDC records about vaccines and actually read these, the general public would never, ever accept vaccines for their children. Ever. They would never do that. But certain entities, well, the ABC agencies that were created by the government to protect corporations, and that is what they do, these agencies produce all of these reports and all of this information, and if people wanted to know what is in a vaccine, they would look at the official records. But these entities rely on people not looking. They rely on their doctors, these authority figures. They rely on doctors and TV ads and all kinds of things like that, that people will go ahead and take these vaccines. Even if they have, well, they do have terrible ingredients. Formaldehyde, aborted fetal tissue, things that you would never, never give your children. And in fact, if you were to give your child, somebody did this, somebody calls the local poison authority and said, what if a mother gave their child, and she read off maybe 5 or 6 ingredients from a vaccine, what if a mother gave her child, injected into her child, the following ingredients, and the poison control center said, well, she would be arrested. But if you have a license, such as a doctor, then it's okay. So people believe authority figures. And they, if you look at any event or any situation like vaccines, people believe authority figures. They believed authority figures regarding the Civil War. They thought, oh, Lincoln was a hero. He saved the nation. Where, in fact, he centralized power in Washington. The states lost power, which means people lost power. 50,000 civilians in the South were slaughtered. It was the first total war. And by total war, I mean that they went after civilians, they went after the production, they went after the food, they went after pets and all the animals. They just slaughtered everything in their path. And yet, people widely believed that the Civil War was a wonderful thing and that Lincoln saved the country. But if you look at the official records, that is not true. And if you look at the American Civil War, the Spanish-American War, well, that was a big farce also, if you look at the official records. And what they actually did during that war, that they enforced smallpox vaccines on a virgin population. And they had never, the Filipinos had never experienced smallpox ever. And yet, after they were vaccinated, there was outbreaks of smallpox. And a lot of people believe that the Federal Reserve Act was passed by a few people during a Christmas break. But if you look at the records, you will find that there was a full majority of both the House and the Senate, and they passed the Federal Reserve Act because there was a majority. But if you listen to the myths that surround that act, rather than looking at the records, then it's altogether a different thing. You can say the same thing about the First World War, how we got involved with that. And of course, the Second World War, there are events that are widely believed that happened, or they say that happened. And because something is widely believed, doesn't make it a fact. If you look at the official records, for instance, regarding the Holocaust, outside of Auschwitz, it said 4 million died here. Well, 3 or 4 years later, they said 1.25 million people died here or were killed there. So, but if you look at the official records, particularly the official records from the Red Cross. So just about everything that is widely believed, if you look at the official records, you find that belief is not credible.
And Deanna, sorry to jump in, but I was just going to say, I think the figures that you're referring to are the 271,000 across all the camps throughout the war that didn't just include Jews. You know, there were other people that were rounded up as well. I think that you make some excellent points, and I'm pleased that you brought up the Federal Reserve situation, because that was something that, I have to look it up, but I think that was a line that I went down. So if it was actually a full house that passed it, it just goes to show the amount of corruption in there, because it indicates that rather than sending everyone home for Christmas and having a few bad apples stay around to pass this, that they actually had a majority of bad apples in there already that they were able to get to pass this. And so that kind of makes more sense. essentially the end result is the same thing, but it gives you a completely different perspective of, oh, it was only in the last century that people started, you know, going along with this corrupt system, and it shows it was around long before. And of course, the other evidence, as you brought up with the Civil War, shows us that, you know, Lincoln wasn't this good guy, and there was a real push to centralize power, you know, 50 years before the Federal Reserve Act was passed. So right. What happened? Did they just have a 50-year break and then stop?
Well, no, they were doing, if you look at the 14th Amendment, 13th Amendment, they were beginning to create a corporatocracy at that point. And
exactly.
Lincoln was very, very instrumental in that. So when you look at the official records versus what people widely believe, it's totally different.
And also, and I was going to ask, sorry, if you finish your thought, and then I'd like you to run through, because one thing I found really interesting, and correct me if I interpreted this wrongly, but essentially what you're saying is because it took so long for the official report from Sandy Hook, and I believe you said it was 5,700 pages, because it took over a
67.
Year.
67.
And let me change that because I make notes to write up for my show post. Thank you. And, yeah, because you mentioned that, essentially is what you're saying, that this year gave, the opportunity for all these conspiracy theories that it didn't happen to not only take shape, but to grow and to become the official narrative before the official
right.
report came. That's, yeah, I understand.
They set the agenda and they got all these experts, for instance, in Fetzer's book that he compiled. He talks about these 13 experts and, everything in the book, actually was an article that was previously online somewhere, and all the theories in the book before he actually published it had been debunked. But people were so widely believed that this was a hoax that they didn't look at the other side. And that is not objectivity. That is being, I'm not sure, I don't know what to call it, but you have to do research. You can't just accept a YouTube video. I call it YouTube University. That is not research. Watching 20 YouTube videos about Sandy Hook is not research. In order to do research, you have to be objective and look at both sides and draw your own conclusions. You actually have to dig into the records, and which is what I did. And I was doing this critique on Small Storm's video, then I decided to do this booklet, and then American Free Press took a turn, and they decided, they canceled the trip and canceled my booklet, and so I decided to go ahead and continue working on a book, and it took me quite a while to put it together. Actually, basically 2 years. And that took a lot of time. And I worked from the time I'd get up in the morning, literally, from the time I got up in the morning until I went to bed at night. I'd get up at 5 or 6 in the morning, go to bed at 10 o'clock at night, and I literally worked on it most of the day.
Wow. And I mean, you see, the thing is, and I think that it's because there's been such a push to get the guns off the American citizens. Now, that's something that, you know, you'd agree that they've been trying to get the guns off the American citizens for so long. Would I be
well,
right?
The media is very anti-gun. Congress is very anti-gun. But what happened, excuse me, after Sandy Hook is that people went out and bought more guns than before. I remember I bought a gun after Sandy Hook. I believe it was in January that I bought it. January, February, right after it happened. And then a couple months, and I took an NRA class, an all-day class, where it was very comprehensive. And then I went in April to buy ammunition. And I thought, well, I know that there's a lot of people buying guns and ammunition, so I'm going to go to the store an hour before it opens. So I go to the store, the outdoorsman store, and there was already a line of about 100 people an hour before. And I was standing with a gentleman who was from Chicago, and you can't buy ammunition in Chicago. Can't buy guns in Chicago. But Chicago has more murders than just about any city. It's probably the murder capital of the country. And so anyway, when the store opened, everybody just rushed in, and you could only buy just so much ammunition because there was such a run on guns and ammunition. And when I bought my gun initially, there were a lot of choices, and the cases were empty. They were just empty because there had been so many people buying guns. And when Fetzer's book initially came out, he had a chapter in there that was a website, a page from a website that he put into his book showing that it was homicide rate and the incidence of guns. Anyway, he took this page, this website, from a gentleman by the name of John Lott without permission and without attribution and put it in his book. So that's a huge copyright violation. And that's... I've done an article about the copyright violations that Fetzer had in his book. He had pictures that were copyrighted. I don't know how many copyright violations were in that book. Lots, dozens.
But after the event, and not just this event, I mean, Obama seemed to come out after any of these mass shootings and say, oh, you know, we need to have gun control and all this, and it's so upsetting that they haven't got gun control. And of course, what worries myself and the listening audience who are in countries such as America, where it's still legal to own, to keep and bear arms, should I say, they're concerned that there's a big push, just like they did in Bolshevik Russia, to get the guns off the people so then they can turn on the people who are then defenceless. And certainly living in the UK, Deanna, of course, we lost the guns years ago, and now we've got hordes of these people that they're bringing in, and we know from stories from Sweden and Germany and what have you that they're starting to say, well, if these people get raped, if women get raped, yeah, that's a cultural thing from these Muslims. They're just lining us up for the slaughter, and we've got no means by which to defend ourselves. So would you understand why a lot of the listeners are sceptical about such events as Sandy Hook, because they regard it as another attempt by the government to pass gun laws so they can't defend themselves?
Well, yes, of course the government will exploit any situation. Like Rahm Emanuel said, we take this, I can't quote it verbatim, but he basically said that they will exploit any situation and do things that they wouldn't have done without the situation. And so, of course they're going to exploit it. Of course they're going to go after the guns. And Connecticut had one of the strictest gun laws in the country. And yet Adam Lanza was still able to have a gun. He had, there were a lot of guns in his home. So this had nothing whatsoever to do with guns, and to suggest that the government would do this just to get guns, no, they didn't orchestrate it just to get guns. They exploited it to suggest that guns should be more restricted.
So what's your view now? I mean, we've talked around the background, and, you know, the listeners will be aware of Jim Fetzer's book, and I wasn't aware of the Sophia Smallstorm stuff. But you talked about this official report. Now, I'll tell you that it's probably good actually coming from me, Deanna, because I haven't looked into it as deeply as yourself and other researchers who've looked into Sandy Hook. So I can give you some of the popular sound bites that have come to me. And let's start off with, the school wasn't an operating school. What's going on there?
Okay. This was based on an article by a Dr. Eowyn, who, that's not her real name. Her real name is Maria Chang. And she said that because the Wayback Machine did not pick up any, the Wayback Machine did not pick up any images from the Sandy Hook School. Okay, and she stated that there was no internet activity. Well, the Wayback Machine does not monitor internet activity. What the Wayback Machine does, and it's the people that created it live in San Francisco, and it's a nonprofit, and what it does, it crawls the internet and takes images of websites and to have so people can look at it. But if you don't want the Wayback Machine to monitor your site, then you put a robot.txt file on your website, which disallows the Wayback Machine from taking an image of your website. Well, if they are going to suggest by using this that the school was closed, then all of the schools in Newtown were closed because it was the same IT guy that took care of all the websites, and none of them were monitored because of this robot.txt on their websites. So it's ridiculous. Besides that, there are hundreds of pictures taken at the school from the period that they claim it was closed, from 2008 to 2012. There are hundreds of pictures taken at the school. There were events at the school, such as Veterans Day, Memorial Day, where the veterans came in for breakfast, and the children brought their grandfathers in, and there were so many events. Also, the Newtown Bee covered many of these events and talked about the Sandy Hook School. And for instance, and I also already mentioned this, in 2009, when they did their back-to-school video, that was in 2009. Well, if the school closed in 2008, why would they be showing Sandy Hook School with the bus driving up? And you can see in the background, and this is from the small storm video. And she was I don't know that she ever said the school was closed, but I guess they need to have a daily memo and get their story straight. But she used the Newtown Bee image. She used their video without permission, because I talked to Newtown Bee, and they said it wasn't worth going after her for copyright issues. But anyway, it showed teachers getting this was filmed in August of 2009, and you could see teachers taking things out of their vehicles to carry into the school, getting ready, getting set up for school to start.
Very interesting. Yes, and let's look at another one. Now, something, the amount of children that died, do we have video footage of various funerals, and if so, how many?
We have video. In fact, I have done a memorial for each of the victims. I'm just finishing up. I have three more to put up. And people can look at these memorials at screeningsandyhook.net. And if you visit that website, just click blog on the right-hand side. And I have done a piece, an article, a page on each of the victims. For instance, the the principal, Hochsprung, there were people lined up around the block. She had an open casket. She was wearing a green silk dress with a black cardigan. And people were in the open casket. There were several that had open caskets. And I show the pictures of the people coming out of the funeral. I show the funeral processions. And you can't fight that. I mean, people, there are witnesses of these funerals. So you would have to say that in order for this hoax, if it were a hoax, it would have to include all of the investigators that worked for the Connecticut State Police. It would have to include all the parents, all the grandparents, all the siblings, all the aunts and uncles, just literally everybody in Newtown. It would have to include all the funeral directors. It would have to include all the religious leaders who led these funerals. It would have to include all of the attendees who attended the funerals. Now, that's an awful lot of people that the government would have to pay off if this was a hoax.
Yes.
Wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. And talking of hoaxes, while I was listening to you there, I grabbed my Synagogue of Satan book, because this is how difficult it gets, folks. I wasn't sure if I'd included that Christmas story regarding the Federal Reserve in my book. I do remember when I wrote it that I was getting multiple sources for everything. But if you get multiple sources that are both wrong, then that's not a credible source. Fortunately, Deanna, it's not in there. But this is what happens when you write so much. I don't know if you have the same thing, that sometimes you have to check back to actually remember exactly what you put in. You know, this book's got a 30-page index, but yeah, and that's how difficult it can get, folks, because we're bombarded by all this information, as Deanna's been saying. And the other thing that Deanna pointed out was a YouTube, and I've mentioned this before on the program. You've got to be careful with, suddenly an event happens and someone rushes a YouTube up, because that YouTube could be being monetized. It could be just that they want to see how many hits that they get because they're an egomaniac or what have you. But of course, as soon as something like this happens, people are looking for the alternative information. Did this happen? Didn't it happen? And so people can put anything up and it'll get tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of views, simply because it's the first one disputing the official narrative of the event. But it doesn't mean that it's true. And this is what the things that some people in our field, they just want to believe every alternative theory that there is. And that can't be true. There's been over 100 deathbed confessions, people saying, I killed Kennedy. Well, Deanna and I both agree it wasn't Lee Harvey Oswald, but we can agree that there weren't 100 shooters, you know? And so some of these people are either, they might be genuine, but not all of them. Some may be mentally ill. Some might be just trying to make a claim to fame, you know, 15 minutes of fame before they go. We don't know their intentions. But this is why you have to be careful. The alternative isn't always right, because there's so many alternatives. There must be 30 different 9/11 theories, for goodness sake. And that's what they rely on now. And I believe that the CIA, they spread a lot of this disinformation themselves, because if they, in the past, what they were trying to disprove every theory that was against the official narrative, and then they thought, actually, it's better to have more theories that dispute the official narrative, because the more that's out there, then we keep them divided and people will never know what the true one actually is. What are your thoughts on that, Deanna?
Exactly. That is exactly true. And what this does also, it puts a big question mark on the alternative media to begin with. And if people who do have questions about 9/11, for people who do have questions about the USS Liberty, for people who have questions about anything, that they are skeptical of the government's version of it, are they going to look at the alternative media if people are writing books titled Nobody Died at Sandy Hook? And when in fact people did die, they're going to call the entire alternative media into question. They're going to say, well, you can't go there. People are nuts. They have all these crazy theories, and they're saying that nobody died when perhaps it was one of their relatives that died. So you really do have to be careful. If you're going to have alternative media, it needs to be alternative. And certainly Cass Sunstein said that one of the best ways to dismantle the alternative media is to infiltrate it with a lot of nonsense. One thing that is very important, and you mentioned your book, that all the index and the footnotes and whatnot, you need to cite your sources. There are two kinds of sources when you're doing work, when you're doing research. There's a primary source, and primary sources are things that they are sources for things that records that were made at the time of the event, such as the records, the official report for Sandy Hook. Those are records that were created at the time of the event and compiled. Then you have secondary sources. And let me say that a researcher should access primary sources first, because they were created at the time of or very close to the time of the event. Now, secondary sources include books, databases, newspapers, videos, indexes, and data that hundreds of individuals have created. Now, these sources often contain simple human errors. These are compiled records, many of which are not admissible in court. You can't take a newspaper into court and say, this is the source of my information. Often, depending on the source, these records are nothing more than hearsay, or worse, they're lies. They're just outright lies. Researchers must also understand that jurisdiction has custody of a specific record. For instance, one would not approach a school board to ask about FBI records. What does the school board know about FBI records? And yet we had people going to the school board and asking questions that were not a part of their jurisdiction.
Yes, and Deanna, just give an example of, because basically you said that there was this story out there that I'm sure a lot of the listening audience have heard as well, that it was just before Christmas and everyone had gone home. So presumably you just accessed the congressional record for those hearings.
Yes.
And you found out how many people voted, etc. Is that correct?
Yes. And it's in one of my books. I probably, my third book in the trilogy. And, this is what the record says. And another thing that people are wrong about is Andrew Jackson. And, oh, he said Andrew Jackson killed the bankers, blah, blah, blah. No, he was in cahoots with the Rothschilds. He made them the banker to collect all of the loans and all of the money in Europe. And they were quite pleased with him. And that's from the Secretary of State's records and from the records, the government records. And yet the myth is that he killed the banks. And that was something that was created with a little booklet in 1868. There was a limited amount of copies published that he was all for, you know, getting rid of the bankers and whatnot. No, not so. And if you look at his records, he is the one that created the Trail of Tears, sent all the Indians off their land so that his friends up north could come down and create plantations in the South. So if you read the records, if you look at the records, it's totally different than what is widely believed. And this is widely believed in the alternative media, that he was this hero.
Is there a way that these you know, ancient records going back to that time, Deanna, could have been tampered with since to reflect something different?
I don't think so, because you're looking at primary records. You're looking at records that were created at the time of the event.
Yeah, I see what you mean, but I suppose what I'm saying is, can someone have literally taken them out, destroyed them, and replaced them with something else? I mean, I know that they'd have to make sure the paper was dated and so it all fitted in, etc. I think it's
reaching I don't think so. I really don't think so, because what you would be doing, for instance, with the Federal Reserve Act. It's in the Congressional Record. These entities that create these records rely on people never looking at these records. They rely on that. People have to be very obsessive compulsive to do this research, to look at these records. It's easier. And we've been indoctrinated in government schools to look at authority figures and accept what these authority figures say. We're not going to look for ourselves. We are simply going to believe what we are told. People look at the news and they believe what they're told, because that's the way that we have been trained in our government schools. We have institutionalized education that creates people who will go off and fight a war against people who've never done anything to them, who will go out and get vaccinated because the people on TV say, oh, this is the worst flu season we've ever had, and so-and-so died, and we better get our vaccines.
And of course, these people are being, they're getting the advertisers from these vaccines. And Deanna already mentioned on the show that if you looked at official CDC records, that no one would vaccinate. And this explains why they've got the control of the media, the bad guys, so they can decide what you're going to know. And so that's very interesting that if you do go to these primary sources, you will find out for yourself. So it's that Kabbalistic thing that we hear about, that if they reveal the information, they put it out for you, and then you still do something bad for you, then they're still actually telling you, but it's up to you to go and find it, not up to them to give you the true version of events, as long as the true version of events are there. Would that be a fair assessment, Deanna?
Exactly. They rely on people not looking. Because we have not been trained to look. We have not been trained to research. We have been trained to take information that a teacher gives to us and then give it back. We regurgitate the information back in a test. That's not education. I'm sorry, it's really not. If you read John Taylor Gatto and some of the other people who have talked about the dumbing down of America, it's true. We have a dumbed down society that will not look at records, but will believe what the authority figures say. And there are authority figures in the alternative media.
Thank you, Deanna. And I just want to let you know, we've got about 12 minutes left, and I've really enjoyed the conversation today, but I want you to, if it is enough time, for you to get as much information as you would like out on Sandy Hook to prove that it was an actual event, that these children and teachers did die. And there's only one other question that I have, if you're able to incorporate an answer into this, and that is the Adam Lanza guy who carried this out. Firstly, did he carry it out, and is there any conspiracies surrounding him? Like, for example, could he have been a MK Ultra, or was it just the case that he was a nutcase on these psychotropic drugs, or just a nutcase on his own? Can you incorporate your view of Adam Lanza, and if he was indeed the sole shooter? Over to you. Any other information in the last part of the show about Sandy Hook, please, Deanna?
People don't need to do an agent or mind control somebody, because psych drugs do that for whoever's, well, psych drugs do the job. And Adam Lanza, was born C-section, so he did not, and when you're born C-section, they clop off the umbilical cord immediately, so he did not get his share of blood, which goes to the brain. They sell that. Allopathic medicine sells that. They sell whatever they can get from the hospital.
Wow.
So he did not get that. When he was 8 days old, he quit breathing. His parents rushed him to the hospital. He was a headbanger. For 3 years, he did not talk. He did not want to be touched. He was fully vaccinated. He was born right after the CDC increased their vaccine schedule. So he was fully vaccinated. You will find that the people who are very well educated are people who will be very obedient and very compliant. They will make certain to take care of their children. And that means that they will do what the doctor says, and he was fully vaccinated. So he did not talk until he was three. As I said, he was a headbanger. When he was in kindergarten, they were still living in New Hampshire, the school had to develop a special educational program for him because of his inabilities to function normally. By the time he was six, he was most likely on Ritalin. There is an indication that he was on psych drugs, particularly because he was light sensitive, and he became light sensitive in about at the age of about 10 or 11, and that's when his father said that he totally changed when he was about 10 or 11, that he just wasn't the same kid anymore, that he used to be he used to go out and ride his bicycle and climb trees and whatnot. He quit doing that. He had an obsession with mass shootings. He belonged to a couple of online groups that talked about Columbine. He was a mess, and he had guns. His mother and her friend took their children out to a range. They're on their property in New Hampshire, and he learned how to shoot when he was four. And he had a lightweight Ruger, and you can find the information guide, how to use the gun. It was still in the home. It's one of the images that was found in the home of his first gun. And you can see photos of him with a gun when he was probably four or five. He was isolated. He did not do well at school. He went to Sandy Hook Elementary School. In the fifth grade, they have K through fifth grade. He went to the next school, and he just wasn't doing well. He didn't like change. He was a mess. He really was a mess. And they would not release his medical records because the assistant attorney general, one of 20 who works for the Department of the Department of Health and Human Services. Now each state has a Department of Health and Human Services that works with the federal Department of Health and Human Services. And the Department of Health and Human Services works very well with allopathic medicine. Anyway, Patrick Quanisi said, we cannot release the records, and this was in an FOIA hearing, we cannot release his records because it will cause other people to stop taking their medications.
Wow. And is there any indication, you said he actually went to obviously the school, Sandy Hook Elementary School. Is there anything that you've been able to uncover as to a possible motive? Like, is there something that could have happened to him there that caused him a deep resentment against that school, which is why, I mean, he specifically targeted that school?
That would be speculation on my part.
Okay.
But he was looking for as many kills as he could get. And he studied Columbine, and he did go there. He went, according to the GPS that was found in the home, he totally stripped the car before he went, according to the GPS. He visited the school, and at the same time, about 9:30, 24 hours before, and 24 hours before, he drove by the school the day before. And then he knew about the security system, which did not have a recording feature. The security system was installed and then implemented in 2007. It was not a new security system. And what it did, you had a buzzer at the door. They locked the school. And then you buzzed. The person in the office would say, "Who is it?" And then they would let them in. But that's not the way he got in. He shot his way in. He was very familiar with the guns, of course, because they were in his home. And he had been to various local, target practice areas. And, so he was looking for a lot of kills. If you want a lot of kills, you go after a lot of vulnerable little children.
Yes.
And that's what he did.
And it's strange as well how he, you know, most of these events, they tend to kill themselves at the end, you know.
He did. He was not happy. In fact, he quit talking to his mother probably a couple months. They lived in the same house, and yet they communicated via email. He was very explosive. He would have tantrums just like a little two-year-old. He had a lot of crying spells. He was incredibly unhappy. He was a vegan. He consumed a lot of edamame, which is a soy product, which alters, well, it's really not good for you. If you've read anything about soy products, it's not anything that you would want to eat. And he was just a very, he was a messed up individual. Very unhappy. And he wanted as many kills as he could possibly get.
Yes. And let's not forget, he also killed his mother beforehand.
Yes, with 4 shots into the eye.
Wow.
And I've also looked at the receipts from her, she'd just come home the night before from a trip. And the receipts are available. I've examined in the video or in the images, her closet or the clothes, and they say it was staged, that the house was staged. Well, she had things in the house that you can't just stage. Langenberger baskets. Now, 2 guys are not going to go out and find some Langenberger baskets to put in the house if they're going to stage it. People lived there. And they say that Alan Powell says that the house was staged in October. And that's just ridiculous. If you look at pictures of Newtown in October, it's all orange. It's beautiful. The trees are red and orange, and it's just beautiful in the fall. And yet he has at the school, he shows, or the images in the official report show the moving truck that is there to pick up all of the furniture and take the furniture to the Chalk Hill School where the children were going to resume their education after Christmas. So several images show the moving van there at the school at the same time that the temporary tent was set up to do autopsies. And that, it doesn't make sense. So what the pictures show and what he claims is that they were staging the school in October, yet you see in December where the trees are all gray and there's no leaves and whatnot, You see the moving van truck, and you see the police there at the same time. So it's just, you have to look at the images. You have to look at the report to see what really occurred.
And, we're almost out of time, so could you please give the audience the details of how they can get your book, your website, where people can listen to your shows, when you're on, etc. Over to you.
All righty. People can read my articles about Sandy Hook at screeningsandyhook.net. And as I mentioned, I have pictures of the funerals. I have a memorial page for each of the victims, including the teachers and the 20 children. My book is available at Amazon. I do a radio program on Saturday afternoon, 3 to 6 Central Standard Time at RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network. And that's Sandy Hook happened. Adam Lanza killed 20 children. And 6 teachers. They all had lives. They all had families. And it really did happen.
Thank you so much for all the information today, Deanna. It was very, very helpful. And it certainly changed my thoughts on this subject. So thank you for your sterling research into this. I want to thank everyone for listening. I'll be back with you all tomorrow. And bye for now.
You have been listening to the Andrew Carrington Hitchcock Show on the Eurofolk Radio Network. Andrew's book, The Synagogue of Satan, is now available on his website, andrewcarringtonhitchcock.com, in an updated, expanded, and uncensored edition.